So let's get into the word today. I want you to go to something that some of you are going to look at it. You're going to close your Bible and say, oh, I've seen that thing a million times. Well, you're going to see it for 1,000,001. All right, because this is going to be good. Go over to Exodus chapter 8. Let me take you, these poor people, they've been preached about up and down and sideways and backwards and everywhere you can preach about them, they've been preached. So allow me to do it again, because I get this message, of course, from what we've experienced this week, but I also got this message from a person that I just recently talked to in church. And so I'm going to share this with you this morning, and I'm simply going to call this Accept the Honor. Accept the Honor. You'll see what I'm talking about as we get into it. Well, Brother Art was mentioning the devastation that came to North Carolina and Florida and all those in-between places. Just, it was just heart-wrenching and tear-jerking, and it just ripped our hearts out to see and hear the things that happened. There was wind, and there was rain, and there was floods and mud and loss of lives, and it was just almost in some places. I don't know if you saw that blue casket just floating down the river. I mean, we saw homes floating down the river. And it was just, we know it was a natural disaster. And we know that God didn't cause it. But we know according to, I won't go into all the details, but we could mention 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And we could mention 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. But Matthew 24, of course. But when you go into Luke 21 and 25, about 26, it says that the wind and the waves, or the waves and the sea, will be roaring. And we saw the wind and we saw the waves, and they were roaring, and these little waves were just ushering themselves down the middle of the streets. And if there was a little creek or a little river, it turned into a massive flood. And it took over the entire towns in some places. And the people were so just absolutely desperate. And this morning I was sitting there having a bite to eat very early and saw the news. And this one man who brought his helicopter in, and he dropped some food down. But there was a lady there that had a mirror, and it looked like she was standing out in a meadow. Maybe you saw her. And she was reflecting this mirror, and the helicopter men saw it, and so they were actually able to land. And he said a man came out, and he said, we had bottles of water, we had cases of water, we had cases of food, but he said when we just gave him a cold bottle of water, he grabbed that bottle and drank it, and he was just in tears. He was crying and weeping and crying just to get that cup of water. So I want to tell you, and you saw this, that any time any of those desperate people, and when we were on the field, evangelistic field, we went into Asheboro, North Carolina, and it's just this, I'll never forget this little church. It was like a chapel, and people came from the community all around to that little chapel, and it would fill up on Sunday morning, and yet they had built a prayer tower. And they said, we wanted to lift this prayer tower off the ground. It was probably up about 20 feet, I guess. And it was round. It was the most beautiful round prayer tower. And they went up there to get off of the ground to pray. And I had wondered if that little prayer tower was still standing. But the people that you and I saw, and woods were all around. That's what I wanted to say is, In those parts, Asheville, North Carolina, and Asheboro, and Goldsboro, all those places, it's real woodsy. I mean, there's woods all over. Woods just surrounded the churches. And you're thinking, I wonder about those trees. And we saw people's clothes hanging in the trees and people hugging trees. But the thing I want to tell you today is it did not matter who came to them. They didn't care who it was, whether they were on a mule, and they did bring pack mules in that brought insulin and medicine and certain things when they couldn't get in by helicopter or they couldn't get in besides walking and the bridges were down, and it was just crazy. And but it didn't matter who brought it. The people received the blessing. They were so happy to accept any help that they could get. And I thought of that, and that's where this message is going to come from. Look at Exodus chapter 8, and we'll start reading at verse 1, Sister Kathy. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me.' But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all of your territory with frogs." Ladies, how would you like that? "And so the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, under your bed, into the houses of your servants, and on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls." I mean, that's pretty much everywhere. When the word says abundantly, it's just huge. It's a big word. So they went everywhere. And verse 4 says, "And the frogs shall come upon you. Not only will your people have frogs jumping on them, crawling on them, but so will you, Pharaoh. You're not going to get by without it." Verse 4 again. "And the frogs shall come upon you, on your people, and on all your servants." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land, just like God said. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and they brought up frogs on the land. The only thing is they couldn't get rid of the frogs. So the devil can only go so far. Okay, so God says these frogs, now get this, I don't want to make this thing any worse than it is and any more gross than it is, but these frogs, the plague that was, that succeeded this just before was when God turned the rivers to blood. Okay, so these frogs were in the bloody rivers. All the water was blood. Okay, so Pharaoh just, you know, he had to just be crazy. I mean, just not to accept. You get these things cleared up, you get the water cleared up, God said, "I'll clear it up for you." And so he went bad on his part of the deal, and then God had to call the frogs up. But these were the same frogs that were in that water. Now, those people, the people that I just told you about, North Carolina and in Florida, they didn't reject one person that came and asked them, "Can we help you?" Not one. But we have to just read on down. I want you to go with me to verse 9. Look at this. If you've never read this before, it's just hard to grasp. Verse 9. "And Moses said to Pharaoh," because Pharaoh had called him and said, "Hey, could you get rid of these frogs? Talk to God for us. Get rid of the frogs." Verse 9. "And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only." So Moses said to him, "You know what, Pharaoh? You are going to get the distinct honor of telling me when you would like for me to pray for you, intercede for you, that these frogs will all return to the water. You can do that. So accept the honor." Look at his answer here in verse 10. "So he," meaning Pharaoh, "he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. Verse 13, so the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. I'm pretty sure it did have a foul odor with all of those dead frogs laying around, I mean everywhere. We saw people in this devastation pushing water out of their homes. These guys were pushing frogs. I don't know if they had rooms, but they were pushing frogs out of their houses. Frogs are not only ugly, they're slimy, they're awful, they make noise, they're loud. They're just disgusting, and none of us want to pick up a frog. And yet here they're having to get the dead ones out because the whole land is just grotesque with smell and odor. So this story is far different than the story we just talked about, the people in North Carolina, Florida, because they were desperate and they said, what can we give you? And they took the help right now. No, not nothing later. No, you have it on the helicopter, you have it on the pack mule, you have it in the boat, we'll take it now. In fact, they didn't even have to say it, they just took it. But this guy doesn't even have the intelligence to say, Moses, if I can take the honor to do that, would you get rid of them right now? Who would want another moment with frogs? And yet he says, tomorrow. What in the world was this man thinking? He's a leader. And he says, tomorrow? I'll take the distinct honor and just say, okay, come back tomorrow. And so I can't even grasp that. Was it pride? Was he just such a prideful man that he didn't want Moses to think, you can go help me right now? But these horrible, ugly things, you know, they're just dirty, and besides just being dirty, they live in dirty water, but they came out of the bloody water. I hate to say it that way, but they just... And isn't this hilarious? That God caused those frogs to be able to live in that kind of water? I don't think you could even call it water. It'd become blood. Yet God had saved the frogs because they had a purpose. They had a purpose to serve, which was going to be another purpose. But the Bible says, if you had read the whole thing, all the fish died. So when God wants to save something, he can save it. It doesn't matter what. And yet all the fish died. Craziest thing you've ever heard. Now, let's let these frogs this morning. God puts all of this in. It says to teach us by example. And so when you look at all this, you read on down, you would see that, of course, it was tomorrow. God keeps his word. And tomorrow, they got rid of the frogs. And they went right back out into the water. And so, everything was cool. They got rid of them. Now, let this, as God teaches us today through his word, these frogs be a type of sin. How about, why would anyone, you say, yeah, I just can't imagine. My pastor preached a sermon years ago when I was a teenager, and I'll never forget the name of it, called One More Night with Frogs. And in essence, it was this. Of course, I wouldn't remember the notes, but you don't have to. The whole thing speaks for itself. But you say, yeah, why would anyone want to spend one more night with the frogs or spend one more day or one more moment? You're like, Pharaoh, don't you have a wife? If he had to go home to a wife, can you imagine what she said to him? He said, Moses gave me the honor, the distinct honor that I could, you know, he'd pray for me when I wanted him to, she said, what'd you say? He said, tomorrow. She probably picked up a skillet. I don't know. But what is it that is so hard to let go there? I don't know. But then when you pull it down to sin, and these frogs, folks, listen, sometimes we can just be a part of frogs that are around us. And if you're not careful, You know, you may have your own kind of frog, and I want to ask you today, what's the name of your frog? And what's so bad about it? And I told you I was going to tell you about this young lady. So these two people were here a short time ago, and one of them gets saved. She gave her heart to the Lord, and I asked the other one. A few days later, I ran on to her, and she says, oh, I was so proud that my daughter gave her heart to the Lord. I can't remember quite how she said it, but she said she went up front and made things right with God, I think she said. And I said, that's right. Well, I knew the lifestyle of this girl, and I said, well, you want to give your heart to the Lord? And she said, oh, yeah, I want to. And I said, well, you ready? You want to do that right now? No. No. I'll wait. I'll just wait. I'll do that next Sunday. I said, well, okay. That's good, but it'd really be, you know, you really should do it right now. Because a lot of things can happen between now and next Sunday. You need to really do that now. You know what she was saying? I just want to have another night with frogs. Just 3 more days. I just want to party just one more time. I just want to hang out with my buds. I know I shouldn't. I know they're no good. But just 1 more week. Oh, we can understand a frog deal. I just got to see that pornography just once more. Just once more. After this week, I'll be ready. Listen, Pharaoh could no more get rid of those frogs than we can the sin in our life. We just can't. There's no way we can break that. We can't. People try hard to quit drugs. You've seen alcoholics say, I'm not an alcoholic. I can quit anytime I want. No, they can't. 1 more night with a frog. No, they can't. They think they can. But Pharaoh couldn't get rid of those frogs any more than we can get rid of our sin. It takes him to break those chains of sin and pull us into his heart. The other night I was so wide awake. Oh, you know how it is. You that's over 40. You know, you wake up at 2 o'clock. You don't go back to sleep until 5. And then that's where, you know, the devil comes and starts talking to you about something, trying to get you worried about it or something. And so I'm dealing with that. I'm thinking on it. Okay. And I thought, I hope it was the Holy Spirit. I believe it was. Now, you know, you've already thought about that about 250 times. So now, why do you want to think about it 257 times? Well, maybe I'll work it out the next time. I don't know. But you know what happened to me that night? It was the most precious thing. I imagined in my heart that I just crawl up into the heart of God. That I just get up into his heart. Now, you know Colossians chapter 3, verse 1? It says, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Not on the frogs. We've all got them. Don't set your affection on things below, but things above. And then it says, for your life, listen, get this in your heart this morning. For your life is hidden with Christ in God. Not just Jesus. We're not just in Jesus' heart. But he said we are hidden with Christ in God. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And then in the book of John, it says over and over from Jesus' his own lips, he said, if you love my Father and you love his Son, we will come and make our abode with you. And then that thought came to me. And I thought, Jesus, I don't know how that happens. You can't ask me and I can't tell you. I have to receive it by faith from the Word. That's the only way I know this. I can't tell you how it works. But how can they, we're Trinitarian here. We believe in the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Three distinct works. That they would live in us. And yet we can live in the heart of God. And whenever you fix your mind that I am in him, Jesus says you are in him and he is in you. I am in him, he is in me. Church, we are so blessed. Can you, listen. Can you accept that honor? Can you just accept that honor? To live in him and him in you. And then, not only that, but then he said, you can be led by me. And you know what? It wasn't 2 minutes. I suppose I was asleep. Everything just calmed right down. So I don't know why sin is so hard to let go of. People have told me over the years, I'm sure you've heard it. They'll say, I said, how did you start doing crank or crack or whatever, heroin, whatever, the big thing. How did you get off? Well, you know, when I was about 12, I remember this one man said, when I was about 12, I started sneaking around smoking. Finally, Dad found out I smoked. It was all right with him. We started smoking, and then my friends at school, they started smoking weed, or they were smoking weed, and I wanted to be cool, and they taught me how to do that, and, you know, take a joint, and then went from that to, you know, a drug. Oh, this won't hurt you. It's just a mild drug. And then from that to this, to this, to this, to this. And you know, it starts out one frog. Then you got two. And then you've got it in your bed. You got frogs in the bed. You got frogs in the oven. You got frogs in your house. You got frogs in your mind. Ugh. My goodness, church, why won't we just accept the honor? Accept the honor that we're not talking about Moses here. God said, Moses, you go tell him to, he can accept. What's his honor here? What does he want to accept? When does he want these things to go? That was Moses. Brother Danny, we're not talking about Moses. We're talking about Jesus Christ. It's not his last name. It's just who he is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. We're talking about Jesus himself, the Messiah. They said, come to me. And just like those people gave those people water and gave them food, he says, I'll satisfy you. We sung one of the songs this morning that he can satisfy. He satisfied us. But this young man that turned into an old guy, Mother Garcia, came here to see me on Thursday. And they're starting a Spanish women's Bible study. Or if you're a man, you'd like to go to this Spanish-speaking Bible study. We'll be starting it up soon. So she came to see me. And we were talking, and I said, Mama, look, let's go down to the library. The library, BJ told me, had a lot of Spanish Bibles. They're called honor books and honor Bibles, and they would give those away. I said, let's go down there and see if they have some of those Spanish Bibles left. So we go down there, and they had boxes, I think 700 boxes given to them, and they said they went out just like that. They were gone. But while we were there, I walked in, and this young man came over to me. I don't know. I think it was an older. He looked older. And he had a chihuahua about this tall sitting up on his shoulder, standing on his shoulder, never fell off, standing. Yeah, had a blanket on it, and this dog standing. So this man gets up, hi, Pastor Paulette. And he was dirty and gruffy and horrible looking, poor little guy. And he came to me, and he wants to hug me. And so I said, no. And I knew who he was. I said, now, I'm going to hug you, but please don't let that dog bite me. Will he get me? Okay, I know how chihuahuas are. They're real grouchy. And the librarian says, oh, no, he's a sweet dog. He won't bother you. But I remember that young man. I married him to his first wife. And I remember how he was abusive in his days.
He'd get abusive.
We would pray with him again, minister to him. He'd come to church, get in the altar. He just, listen. He just started doing good. And I really thought we were making headway, that God was good, God was delivering him. Oh, he was so happy. And he saw himself get rid of the anger and the stuff and the frogs that pulled him down. And he started dating the wrong girl. She was wild. She was out the world. She was so far, and he couldn't control her. He just wanted one night with the frogs. And it gets out there. That's who we saw, Mother Garcia, at the library that day. That was him. Homeless, on the streets, lost his family, lost the kids. CPS took him away from him. So sad. He could have accepted the honor. He was here. And I told him he should not go with that girl. I told him she was wrong. I said, listen, she's going to put you right back out in that world. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm stronger than that now. See, people think that they can control their own sin, their own frogs, but you cannot control your frogs any more than Pharaoh could. And I begged him not to go. Next thing you know, we never saw him anymore. But the kids and I saw him not too long ago. That's how I knew who he was. So he asked me on the way out, he says, can I come to that? I heard you saying you're starting a Spanish Bible study. Can I go to that? I said, well, it's mainly for the Spanish-speaking elderly women. But Mother Garcia, if I see him, I'm going to say, yeah, you can come. Just come, and then you guys get him, okay? Tell her what I said, Roman. Take care of him. So you know what? We're going to see a lot of those people begin to get rid of their frogs. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I don't want to get off on all this, but there was a young man that lived on the reservation. We lived on the cattle ranch up there on Indian Reservation Road. And this young man, 21 years old, and he was an alcoholic. And his uncle was too, but uncle had been free for 6 months. He hadn't taken a drink in 6 months. And his wife was so proud of him. They had 6 kids and one on the way. Yet, the young man, 19, 20, I think he was 19 years old, he goes up to uncle's house there on the res and says, would you please take me down to the Antlers just to get a drink? Oh, no, son, no. I've been free now for 6 weeks, 6 months. I'm not going. Please, uncle, you don't have to go in. Just drop me off. No, I'm not going. His wife said, you promised me. No, I'm not going. Well, the kid just kept on and kept on. Pretty soon he goes with him. And he went. That was on Friday night. And they stayed all weekend long. And on Monday morning, that was the drunk driver that hit my husband and daughter head on and killed both of them and killed himself. And the nephew who, the frog that drew him away, lived. He lived. And he came to church one day, and we were having communion. And he came and asked me to forgive him. And I said, Anthony, you know I forgave you. I forgave you a long time ago when I saw you that morning at McDonald's. And he said, can I have communion? I said, yes, you can. And I was able to serve him communion. But that young man just could never get rid of his frogs. Just one more time, uncle. And uncle was so free. I mean, he was just free. And then he left his wife and his children. And the wife, they told me his wife, she had to burn all of his clothes. Oh, she didn't know what to do with herself. And so I'm just saying, he didn't intend to go that way. If he had accepted the honor that he had been given to be free for 6 months, and his wife saying, honey, you promised me, he could have taken that honor. But he chose not to, and he destroyed himself, about destroyed his wife and children, and our lives have never been the same since. We have a good life. We've got a wonderful life. Thank God for Jesus. But I'm going to tell you right now, he could have had it too. He didn't have to go the way that he went. Could have been, had the honor of being free. All right. I want to show you one more thing here. God's hand is upon his church. Do we have issues? You know we do. Do we have problems? Yes, we do. And we're fighting the frogs off all the time, aren't we? Are we fighting frogs off of us? They fight them off your mind. You fight them off your kids. You fight them off your family. You do that in praying and interceding. See, Pharaoh knew that Moses would intercede for him and get these frogs out of there. All he had to do is accept the honor. And Jesus will get rid of your frogs. They may try to come back, but he'll get rid of your frogs if you'll just accept the honor. I come to you in the name of the Lord today telling you that you've got somebody to help you. Amen? Yes, we do. Thank you, Jesus. Well, look down at verse 20. We'll just skip down to verse 20. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. And then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they might serve me. Or else. Listen, if God says or else, you don't want that word. You don't want those two words coming from him. Okay, so he had already gotten rid of the frogs, and then they had lice all over. I'm not going to go into all these, but I do want you to see this fourth one, the flies. Now, we can't take one fly buzzing around our ears. But can you imagine the whole atmosphere of your city being black with flies? Verse 20, and the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go so they can serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I'll send a swarm of flies on you and your servants and on all your people into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground on which they stand. The ground will be covered. And in that day, here we are. Here we are, church. Here I am, right here. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. Where do we dwell? In the kingdom. We dwell in the kingdom. And here, it was Goshen. Now, it is the kingdom in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that ye may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people, Pharaoh. Tomorrow, see, God said, you wanted tomorrow back there with the frogs? Well, you're going to get tomorrow with the lice, and you're going to get tomorrow with the flies. So make sure, if he brings you help, you take it today. Don't take it tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Verse 24, and the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, into the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupt because of the swarm of flies. But I'll tell you right now, those flies did not go into Goshen. Now, can you imagine? You've got a whole land over here of Egypt, and it's totally black. The air is black. The ground is black. If you walk into the houses, they're black with flies, and they're just buzzing all over the place. And then you come to the little land of Goshen, and all of a sudden, it's like, there's a line, and this fly knows you cannot cross this line. An invisible line. And those flies did not go one ounce farther. There's things available in the kingdom that you and I have that others don't have. You can go through debt. You can go through hard times. You can go through brokenness. And it all comes, but we keep our head up, our shoulders back, and we just go through as though nothing ever happened. Isn't that amazing? We're kingdom dwellers, people. We live in the kingdom. And so these flies, man, we cannot put up with them. You don't have to deal with them. You don't have to deal with it. You don't have to party just one more time. Well, I'm afraid I'll fail. You know, I trusted God before. I went up there to get prayer, and then I went right back to it. Well, why do you want to go back to the frogs? Why? I'm afraid, I don't know, you know, if God ever really blessed me. I don't know if I could take success. Are you crazy? I've been with and I've been without, and it's a whole lot better to be with than it is without. So don't act that way. Say, God, if you bless me and you pour out your spirit on me abundantly and you bless me in this land of Canaan, in this land of the kingdom of God, God, I will serve you and I can take the success. And if I fail, I'll just get up again. If everyone falls around me, I'll just get up and go on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand with me this morning. Don't underestimate yourself and don't cut the blessings of the Lord off. Don't cut them off. And don't just run to your friends instead of Jesus. Don't hide yourself on Facebook and try to look real good on Facebook. Ooh, I'm going to look so good on Facebook. I'm going to tell all my 5,000 friends. Yeah, which one of them's been to your home? How many friends do you have? Oh, all my likes. I just love all my likes. We hide ourselves. Don't hide yourself in those things. Don't hide yourself. Listen, I've got a little pond in my backyard. And when my grandchildren were younger, they would get scared in the middle of the night. Of course, they slept in my room. We don't like those frogs. Have you ever heard frogs croak at night, those of you that live in the country? They are so loud. And it sounds, I would never eat a frog leg just because they are so loud and so slimy and so ugly. And they just, finally I told the kids, I said, listen, they're just chatting with each other. You know, they have to talk too. What are they saying? I said, well, Dad says, honey, do you want to go out to dinner tomorrow night and get in, you know, some more minnows? Or you just make up stuff for the babies, you know. My man who was taking care of it, he would put these pretty little lily pads on top of the water, and they looked so pretty. Pretty soon there was no lily pads. They'd cut underneath and eat those lily pads. Just cut underneath. They don't care about anything. Frogs don't care. Sin doesn't care. It will eat you up and spit you out. Well, Pastor, I can deal with this thing. I can deal. Yeah, I'm not addicted. I'm just saying you better be careful. If it's a frog, it's going to be a frog. And a frog's going to have babies. And they have lots of babies, I think. I don't know about that. I didn't look that up. I didn't want to look anything up on them. You look it up. They're just nasty. And so they have a lot of babies, I think. Probably, yeah, they just do. But they'll keep you awake at night. And my frogs of worry were keeping me up the other night until I had to go crawl. Ariel, I crawled into the heart of God to get away from them. Just crawl into the heart of God and know where you live. You've got to get rid of the frogs, church. Take the honor. Just take the honor and Jesus will set you free. David said, oh Lord, I preached it to you 3 or 4 times. David said, Lord, rid me of these strange children. He wasn't talking about the kids in his home. Don't say that about your kids. He was saying, Lord, rid me of these strange children, these voices, they lie. He says, they lie to me. Frogs will lie to you over and over. And God said, son, I will rid you of those strange children because you've got a work to do. And I will save you for your purpose. Amen. So, church, my sister wrote a song once out of Psalms 55, called Cast Your Burdens Upon Him and He Will Sustain You. He still does that. He still sustains us. So God bless you all. Thank you for being here today. I honor you and bless you in Jesus' name.